Hello and welcome to Movies with My Dad, the podcast where I, film critic Tina Kakadelis, take my dad Stratus to the movies. This week we saw The Life of Chuck, directed by Mike Flanagan, starring Tom Hiddleston, Kate Siegel, and Mark Hamill. Join us on the spoiler-filled car ride home. Oh, I guess I'd already started recording. Whoops, that's 15 seconds I gotta cut out.
I think it's fine.
We're not gonna give them 15 seconds of shuffling and you yawning. Okay, Father, what did we see?
Life of Chuck?
Hey!
Hey, I remember the title.
They gave it to you twice.
Doesn't mean I remember it.
Okay, you wanna give a plot?
No. I just wanna give straight to my review.
Okay.
This may be the best movie you've taken me this year.
Go! I don't want to yell so I don't have to, like, lower my maximums, but let's go!
Oh! See, this is the use of horror skills for good.
Stop. Stop it. Because every time that I bring up horror, I'm always like, Mike Flanagan.
This isn't
horror. Do you know who directed this?
I assume Mike Flanagan.
Yes.
Whoever that is.
Sorry, my guy. Mike. This was horror.
Beautiful. It wasn't
horror. It had a little horror to it.
No, it's only horror because Stephen King wrote it, and he used his horror suspense for good, as opposed to...
Okay. Which is what horror can be used for.
I don't care. This was a beautiful movie. This is what movies should be. I'm glad I made your day. Now you have to give an overview of what this is.
I'm quoted in the trailer, and it was like, I want to run through a wall. Yeah, I'm quoted in the trailer for Life of Chuck.
Where?
What do you mean? In the trailer? The trailer that is playing.
So I didn't see that.
Yeah, I sent it to you, and you ignored it and texted my friends before you replied to me.
You mean the screenshot?
Yeah.
I didn't see the trailer.
Okay, well.
And I didn't know what Life of Chuck was, so... It was kind of, you know, nebulous at that time.
Okay, well, now
you know.
Give
me some more context. Now, oh my gosh, you were in the trailer.
I was. Truly, it was a wonderful moment of my life. I saw it last year at TIFF, and I've been thinking about it every single day since.
Wow.
I saw it one time, early morning press screening at like 9 a.m., and I was weeping. I cried again. I was... They got me. Mike got me. Mikey
Shocking,
got me.
I had not a tear in my eye.
Oh, well, that's disrespectful to
no,
Mike.
No, but it was very meaningful and moving.
What a beautiful... He said he wanted to make this as like...
Approaching a railroad crossing.
How do you silence her?
It's a good question. Where is the...
Why does this look like a new setup?
Well, it is, because we're on Waze instead of Google.
Oh, my gosh.
Okay, you continue. You explain it while I try to get rid of it.
Well, I was going to say, this is the movie that Mike said that, like, he made it wanting to leave something behind for his kids. He was like, of all the things that I've ever made, I wanted to leave something. Like, this is the most meaningful thing that I wanted to leave behind for my kids. And his kid is young Chuck. Like, youngest Chuck. The one who's playing with the train.
Oh, actually his kid.
Yeah, like, who's playing with the train, who's in it for, like, two scenes.
Okay.
It's his kid. And then his wife is the woman who explains the Walt Whitman poem.
Oh.
It's his wife. Yeah.
It's a family affair.
That's my guy,
so
Mikey.
So, what is he... Does he just make horrible horror movies otherwise?
Oh, my God! Okay, well, let me just say... The plot,
horrible to me, at least.
Hush. The plot of Life of Chuck is just... It's... this man's life in reverse,
yes.
Essentially, but it's so beautiful and it's just so well done and so intricately layered, and every performer, I love it so much. I love Life of Chuck. I think, like, the less you know, but I guess you're listening to this with spoilers, whatever, doesn't matter.
Well, hang on, if you haven't seen the movie
and you weren't thinking about it, go see it.
Stop this right now and go see the movie. And then tell us why we're right.
Gosh, what a movie. So you might actually like Mike Flanagan's horror stuff.
Oh my gosh, no. Really? Actual horror?
No.
We should change the name of this podcast to Horror Movies with My Dad That He Hates.
No. Okay, you liked his stuff here. So he does this.
Yes, this was a beautiful story.
Can I talk?
No.
I've been waiting for Mike Flanagan. I've been waiting to talk about my boy and right. have
the I'll a put whole, the car in autopilot.
Thank you
so
much.
Call me when you're done.
So he, do you know The Haunting of Hill House, the Shirley Jackson novel?
No.
Okay, whatever. So
it's horror.
Do you know Henry James, the author?
Well, sure.
Okay, and you don't know Shirley Jackson? Do you hate women? They're both horror writers, so you got nothing to fall back on.
Oh, wait, maybe I don't know.
He did The Turning of the Screw.
Okay, let's pretend I don't know.
Okay, so he...
I thought this was a name from, like, 1800s.
Yeah, it is.
Oh, okay.
So you hate women, is what we're getting back
Evidently,
to.
Evidently, yes.
Yeah, you
just
hate
go
Shirley Jackson.
And
she's more contemporary.
If it's a horror genre,
but she's from, like, the 20s.
Okay.
Anyway, so he made this incredible... The Haunting of Hill House is phenomenal. The short miniseries that he made. But The Haunting of Bly Manor is stunning. It is, like, him using ghosts as grief and the haunting that, like... Mm. He doesn't really use jump scares. That's not really his thing. He doesn't like it. Because, I mean, you would... A different version of Life
Wait,
of
who
Chuck.
Who are we talking about?
The director.
The director. Okay, I didn't think the author in
1800s
was doing
jumps. No. The writer-director. So okay. He writes and directs a lot of stuff. I think he also is, like, from Maryland. I think he's a Maryland boy. I want to say he went to, like, Towson.
Oh.
I could be wrong. Right.
Go be more.
Towson.
Okay, fine. Continue.
Also, who says be more?
That used to be on the...
I know, but nobody says that out loud. Okay. You don't say it.
Just constantly like... being corrected.
Anyway, so he, like, Haunting of Bly Manor is one of the best... works of the horror that's not really horror. It is phenomenal, and I think maybe you should try it if you like The Life of Chuck.
Well, I don't need to be scared.
You're not scared. The majority of it, like he said, he doesn't do jump scares. He doesn't, like, that's not the thing. The thing is, like...
Oh, it's worse. He does psychological
horror?
Cause
no!
Gets deeper in
my brain. Oh my god. Okay, so why did you like this one? I give up.
What do you mean? Why are you giving up? This wasn't a horror movie.
This was kind of.
Like, no.
A little.
This was close. If you want to go anywhere, you could say this was a little Twilight Zone-y. Maybe a little.
Which?
What's the Steven Spielberg one? Amazing Stories?
Yes. I could call Twilight Zone a little horror-y, a little science fiction-y, a little off, a little unsettling.
Yes.
You weren't unsettled in the first third of the movie when, like,
of course.
The world is falling apart?
But that's very different. Horror, to me, is what scares me on the inside. I don't want to be scared on the inside.
We still haven't, also, I feel like this is therapy sometimes. We still haven't gotten to, like, what scares, like, what, you can't point to a horror movie that scares you.
All of them.
Oh, my gosh. Okay, so why did you like The Life of Chuck? Why did it speak to you?
Well, so I guess I'll go back to the Spielberg's Amazing Stories or Rod Serling's Twilight Zone. There was enough... I guess Stephen King created a world here that was intriguing enough for you to want to be drawn in and try to learn more of what's happening. Because it's not put together in any normal storytelling way. Mm-hmm. But it was put together by an expert storyteller. I just didn't know where they were going with it.
Yeah.
And I enjoyed the ride immensely.
That first act where you're just like, what is happening? It's such a cool feeling that when it shifts and you, like, start to put the pieces together of, like, oh, that's what is going on. And that's how these people are being connected. And I love that the whole second act is basically just the 5-minute dance scene.
Oh, that kid was phenomenal.
What?
The dancing
kid. The kid? I'm talking about the... Tom Hiddleston.
Oh, wait. Sorry, that was first
the
act.
Act 1, or no. Act 3. Yeah. Act 3 is backward.
Right.
So Act 2 is Tom Hiddleston doing the 5-minute dance with the stranger.
That's Loki, right?
That is Loki.
Sorry,
my
Tom.
Goodness.
I don't know names.
Okay, Tom. Chuck.
I wasn't even 100% sure that was Mark Hamill until I saw his name in the credits.
It is Mark Hamill,
It was Mark Hamill, yes.
What Mike Flanagan also
best,
does...
Best thing he's ever done.
Best thing he's ever done is crazy.
Well, the best thing I've seen that he's ever done.
Okay, so you've seen this in Star Wars.
I've seen this in Star Wars.
Because he does a lot of voice acting. He's a very good Joker voice actor.
I've heard that, but I don't watch cartoons anymore.
Look at that little fluffy freak dog.
He's a cute dog.
What was I going to say?
You were talking about Mark Hamill. You're talking about Loki.
Don't remember. It's gone now.
Fine.
But I started crying then when he's dancing.
In the downtown area?
Yeah. That got me. I cried when she did, gave the multitude speech.
Who was she, by the
speech.
Way? The lady that danced with
him. Oh, that's what I was going to say. Mike Flanagan also hires a lot of the same actors over and over and over again and puts them in different roles.
Wait. That's like, I'm learning, Wes Craven.
No.
Doggone it. Wrong name?
You're half right.
Wes. Wes Anderson.
There you go.
Wes Craven's horror.
Yes.
All right.
You're close.
We'll change the title of this podcast to The Education of Your Dad on the Drive Home.
Thank you so much. Okay. But yeah, he does that a lot too. And I think it's such a cool little bits of Easter eggs too popping up. Like his wife has been in like most of the stuff that he's done recently. Not his like early, mm-hmm. early stuff. But man, she's so good. That speech just kills me. Where she's talking about... A lot of people don't like Mike Flanagan because he writes a lot of like speeches for his actors. But I'm a sucker for a monologue.
Interesting.
Yeah. This, I think he's toned it down. Like, he's pretty reined in here. But in, he did one called Midnight Mass that I don't think he'd like. But he really goes off on those monologues there.
Does he do any other that not horror? Or is this new for him? In this kind of genre?
I'm trying to think. I think all of them, they're all like at least... science fiction-y, like, but they are pretty horror, I guess. Yeah.
I don't think you can call this science fiction.
What are you gonna call
it? It's not science.
No, there really is no science.
So it's there's another name for this.
Well, then it's the same thing as like the Twilight Zone.
Yes, and that's not.
But I don't know.
Right.
What you would call that? I guess
oddities something. There's got to be you're the film critic.
Nobody's really done it like the Twilight Zone. And what's the other one?
Amazing Stories.
No. There's another one that came out in the same time as The Twilight Zone, but everybody forgot about it. And I only really know about it because of a joke that they made on Gilmore Girls.
Everything goes back to Gilmore Girls.
And for it. So much of my pop culture comes from Gilmore Girls.
Sorry, I can't. I have no idea.
I'm never going to pull it out. Okay. So, this is your movie of the year so far.
Yeah, I'd say so.
I love that for you, Dad.
I love the grandma.
Yeah.
She was phenomenal. Although... They, a little interesting on casting to say that she's basically the same age as Mark Hamill.
No, she's younger.
Yeah, but only by 3 or 4 years.
No, by like 10 years.
Oh, did I miss that?
Yeah, she passes away when she's 60. He passes away only like a year or two later in his 70s.
Okay.
So there's like a 10-year gap. But... The little boy who plays the bulk of little Chuck.
Yes.
Until they switch to teenage Chuck. He's so precious.
He is. He's phenomenal.
He's so good. And his little dance moves are so cute. And it's just such a sweet, beautiful movie.
Why don't they make movies like this, Tina?
Oh my gosh, they do. I just don't take you to them.
You take me really to things that just rip my soul out from inside.
Okay, but this one, this didn't, like, rip your soul out?
This was sweet.
I thought you were going to hate it.
Why would I hate this? This was...
Because I didn't remember how, like, really bleak it is in the beginning.
I didn't think it was bleak.
You did That's not the think the beginning
thing.
Part...
No, because it was so... The story there...
Oh, and you love Karen, don't you?
Who?
Karen Gillan.
Who's that?
The redhead in the very beginning. Who's the ex? The exes who call each other?
I don't know.
She's the green one in Guardians of the Galaxy? Nebula?
What?
You
no,
know
that's
Karen Gillan.
Zendaya.
Who?
No, not Zendaya.
Zoe Saldana.
Zoe Saldana, yeah.
Maybe she's the blue one then.
The blue one?
Yes, she's related to Zoe Saldana. So if Zoe's green, then she's blue.
Oh. Okay, I don't recognize that.
Okay, I think you do.
Regardless.
Anyway.
I understand why you would say that it was bleak, but because it was such a riddle to solve, it wasn't bleak.
I guess I didn't feel that it was bleak the first time, but now second time.
So I should never watch this again.
This is heavy.
Oh, the and that was obviously Stephen King. His bringing in of Cosmos... oh my gosh, why am I, Carl Sagan, mm-hmm. bringing in that, because I think Stephen King's probably around my age, and that was so influential in the 70s.
The timeline, the calendar?
Oh, that, and that's from the PBS series Cosmos.
Yeah, no, I knew of that before.
It just blew your mind as a young man, as a young person.
Yeah, see, you're only thinking about men again.
Well, no, I was thinking about me.
For sure.
I was a young man. I was not a young woman. Gosh, where is this going to go?
What a beautiful film.
Okay. Yeah, it really is just a beautiful film. They don't make beautiful films like this.
You heard it here first. Okay. Maybe they'll slap that on the next trailer,
you know,
Dad.
Rip your name off that trailer and put mine up there.
Oh my gosh. They don't
make beautiful films like this.
They really don't. What a film. And I interviewed the composers, too. I've interviewed them twice. I love the Newton Brothers.
Aw.
They're really great guys. Andy and Taylor. They've done a lot of Mike stuff. Huge fan.
All right, Tina.
Okay, what do you want to rate it out of?
I returned.
Walt Whitman poems.
No, I'm not a poem person.
Okay, that is what... What?
No, I understand the storyline of it.
Okay.
But,
So then what do you want?
Oh.
Cupolas.
Dancing shoes.
Okay, but then are we doing
double
again?
Oh my gosh, you're doubles. You have a problem with that, don't you?
Yeah, I do. It just doesn't make sense to me.
Okay.
I can handle pairs of dancing shoes. It's 5 out of 5. It stayed 5 out of 5 since TIFF. I bought a hat. That says thanks, Chuck, on it.
You didn't bring me one.
No,
Knowing that I would love this later.
I ordered it.
Okay.
You can order it, too.
I'm going to go with a 4.85.
Get out of here. No, I'm done. If this isn't a 5-star movie, we're done. 4.85?
I figure there's got to be one more thing out there in the rest of my life of how little time I have left. I'm hoping I'll find the perfect 5.
You contain multitudes.
I contain multitudes.
I am wonderful. And I deserve to be wonderful.
Nothing is perfect. So 4.95.
Oh my God. You ruined everything that you said. Just give it 5.
Nope.
Oh my God.
Love you, Tina.
Love you.
Night.
Bye.
That's it for this week's episode of Movies with My Dad. You can find all of our episodes on movieswithmydad.com or the streaming platform of your choosing. You can also send us an email at movieswithmydadpod@gmail.com. My dad is desperate to hear from you. You can find me, Tina, on Blue Sky at Tina Kakadelis or on Letterboxd at Tina_DOCX. You can find my dad at the local Lowe's. Tune in next week when we head back to the movies.